Good morning, everyone. This is Brandon with the Iowa Healthcare Association. Welcome to our first installment of the Fridays from the State House call. Today, January 20th, 2023. We'll be doing these calls on a weekly basis to keep everyone updated with what's going on down at the Capitol during throughout the legislative session. So we thought the call would be the best forum for that. You can give the update and then provide an opportunity for questions here at the end. So with that, I'll turn it over to Maria, who is going to give an update of what's gone on these first couple weeks of session. So Maria, take it away.
Perfect. Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate it. And thank you all for taking time today on this Friday morning. I know you all are busy. So we're hoping this can go, 10, 15 minutes, but we're always here for questions. So again, thank you. This is sort of our introductory, to the, Zoom version of our weekly update from the State House. As you know, as our GR team, our government relations team continues to address some of those very critical issues that you all face that really impact your ability to provide care to the folks in your communities. We just wanted to find a way to keep you informed of what's happening at the Capitol and just kind of walk through the implications of any bills that might affect our providers. So, just as a reminder, we ask that you not share any of the call access information with non-members. It's a benefit of the IHCA, ICAL, ICHC membership. So, but I think we'll go ahead and get started on kind of the things that have been happening, and then I'll walk through a couple of bills that I think are relevant already. just as a reminder, kind of up front, we've put together a pretty robust legislative agenda for the session. And what we've done is after we went to you all and asked kind of what the priorities that you were interested in us, going after during the 2023 session, we sort of have put them into a few key buckets, I would say, as far as priorities. So for all three sectors, certainly advocating for funding. We heard you loud and clear on that one. Determining workplace solutions that support development and retention of workers. So our healthcare professionals. We want to improve statewide accessibility to healthcare, certainly promoting delivery and access to HCBS services, and certainly just, strengthening the healthcare continuum all the way through. So with that in mind, that's kind of how we're approaching the legislative session. So I'll start with, we're in the first, well, we just finished the second week of the session, and we really started out with a bang. I was telling our GR team that I don't know that I have had a legislative session that's been this active right out of the gates as much as it has this year. So it's been very, very hectic. Starting with the week before session, we had about 30 fundraisers. We have so many new legislators in both the House and the Senate, I think 50 some total in both the House and Senate. So there's a lot of work to be done on our end as far as introductions and really just getting to know some of these lawmakers, learning their backgrounds, their experiences, whether they have any sort of, knowledge of long-term care, in any of the sectors. So that's been a great effort on our part. And that'll continue on throughout session. But we were able to attend the majority of those 30 fundraisers. Or if we could not, we had Cornerstone Government Affairs represent us at nearly all of those. That first week of session had come up with a bang. A few bills were introduced the very first day in the Senate. There were two of them in particular, which I'll run through. That made me scratch my head, and I thought, oh boy, if this is an indicator of how it's going to go the rest of the session, we've got a big one. But I feel comfortable with those at this point. And again, I'll walk through those. But a couple of bills have already been introduced that will impact us. It was also that first week had Brent and Brandon and I attending several events for the governor's office, including her official swearing in ceremony and the governor's ball, which a few of our members also attended. So that was a lot of fun. And once sort of the celebration stuff got over with, we got back into business. So we also, Brent Brandon and I and Jeff Stegarda met with the governor's office and DHS. We've had a couple of meetings. We have one in person at the Capitol. We had one, a couple on the phone, I should say. So between the governor's office and DHS or DHHS now to discuss some potential funding opportunities for all three sectors. And again, those conversations are ongoing. The appropriations portion, the appropriations bill usually does not come out until the very end of session. It's sort of the last thing to drop. So we have a lot of work to do to continue to inform legislators as well as the executive branch of our needs within all three sectors. And we will continue doing that. So there isn't much of an update there when it comes to appropriations, but we'll keep you apprised of any changes or progress that we make when it comes to that. So this week, I spent quite a bit of time at the Capitol, again, just trying to introduce myself to new lawmakers. Brandon joined me for a couple of opportunities down there. We had a couple of questions and inquiries from legislators. We've met with the chair of the House Human Resources Committee. We also met with the chair of the Joint HHS Health and Human Services Appropriations Committee. So they had a couple of questions about some potential legislation they were going to run. We're still looking into that. So I can't give a lot of information on that, but we're just providing feedback at the time. Brenda Erlbeck came with me to the Capitol, and she served as sort of our expert regulatory person on with a legislator who's really been actively pursuing video camera legislation. And we were, I think, successful in, for the moment, redirecting her energies to what we feel is the real crisis in the sector, which is a direct care workers shortage. So we're trying to collaborate with her in a friendly way to find solutions to some of the concerns that she had outside of putting cameras in facilities. So so that is sort of a quick and dirty explanation of some of the things that we have been doing actively, I guess, some of the energies that we've put into the Capitol in our time at the State House. And again, we're going to save questions for the end. I know we're recording this, and we're going to stop recording once we have those questions come up. But certainly, you know, I want to run you through a couple of those bills that I said were impactful to you all. One of that we're keeping an eye on right away. Again, this is one that came out of the gates on the first day, and I thought, oh boy. But it's Senate File 1. It's a bill that proposes elimination of the certificate of need process, ultimately overall relating to development of a newer changed institutional health service. So what this means is that, well, ultimately the piece in the bill that's problematic for us, there's only one portion, but it's relevant to our assisted living providers. It does propose to create a certificate of need process for assisted livings, which we do not want. And that is something that we have already gone to the sponsor of this bill. It is Brad Zahn. We shared, Senator Zahn, we shared with him our concerns. He appears to understand those concerns and is working with the chair of Health and Human Services to ensure that that bill does not move, or if it does move, that portion is eliminated from the bill. I feel pretty confident about that. We have also spoken with the chair ourselves of the HHS committee, and he understands our concern and has assured us that portion will not make it through the bill in its entirety if it indeed moves forward. With that said, we always keep our eye on it, a close eye. We definitely don't want that to move forward. So more to come on that, but I feel like we're in a good place and have made the right, had the right conversations with the right folks to prevent that from happening. A second bill that came through, also senators on that first day, is Senate File 5. And this bill, we expected something like this to be coming our way. But this bill proposes to strike any requirements in current law for staffing agencies to report a dollar amount that they pay to their workers per worker category. So this bill is just flat out a hard no. It would really it would reduce the transparency efforts that we went through last year in the legislation that we had that proposed accountability for staffing agencies and included those reporting requirements so that we could see the difference between what our providers are being charged what the workers are being paid. So again, it would reveal that margin. So again, you know, this is a hard no. It would reduce all those transparency efforts that we feel are key to the success and intent of that original legislation. So we do feel good about this bill as well. We were able to visit with Senator Zahn. This isn't something he's passionate about, and I feel confident that this will die quickly. We have also gone to the chair of the Health and Human Services Committee where this bill is placed, and he is aware of our extreme desire not to let this bill move. So again, it's just like the first one. We feel confident it's not going to go anywhere. But again, we keep on top of all of these. We just need to keep a watchful eye to make sure that it doesn't get lost in the shuffle and that these bills are officially killed. So another one that I wanted to point out is Department of Inspections and Appeals bill. That's Senate Study Bill 1044. It does have a companion bill in the House, a House Study Bill 24. But this is basically a bill that codifies a previous rule that we had asked DIA to go forward with. And what it does, it just codifies that previous rule, and we're comfortable with that. We actually asked them to do this. So what it does is it would exclude PT, OT, and speech therapy from the Healthcare Employment Agency bill, which is what we, intended to do from the beginning. But as with any new bill, that comes out, a first-time bill, some or laws sometimes have holes. And so we were definitely open to modifying that bill and wanted to make sure we did it, through law versus just rule, as law is far more difficult to change. So this bill also, on another note that doesn't really impact us, but it also ensures that there's the $500 fee that's required for a staffing agency to register with the state goes directly to DIA, as it in the original bill was going to the state's general fund. So they'll be using those resources to go directly towards, administrative actions that are required due to the new staffing agency reporting bill. The next two and the last two that I'll kind of discuss that have come out are put forth by the same senator, Representative Salmon. She was previously in the House and now she's in the Senate. The first one is Senate File 92, and it relates to the reporting of false information regarding suspected dependent adult abuse. And it does recommend a penalty of a simple misdemeanor for false reporting of that dependent adult abuse. This is something we're just watching. I know that, I'm not certain of the frequency of which this occurs, but we do know that there can be the potential for false reporting, in buildings maybe, or with workers, maybe with a disgruntled employee, or, maybe there's a version of something that occurred that's different in their mind from what really happened. So we have asked the sponsor of this bill, Senator Salmon, if the rule applies to staff giving false information to their supervisor, maybe during an investigation. But we're awaiting to see if any, what the information is that she provides on that. So more to come on that when we hear back from her. Her second bill is Senate File 93. And this bill relates to DIA investigations of dependent adult abuse in a healthcare facility or hospital. Ultimately, again, this is something that I don't think will have a tremendous impact on us, but I wanted to flag it and keep an eye on it. It basically says that DIA should determine if a dependent adult has an existing guardian, conservator, or attorney in fact, and it would require DIA to inform any of those parties of an investigation of dependent adult abuse in a facility. This is currently under review by our attorneys just to assess the impact, but I wanted to flag it since it's relevant to dependent adult abuse. So those are kind of the ones that we're keeping an eye on for now. Like I said, I expect a million gazillion more bills to drop here in the coming weeks, particularly before the first funnel, which is not until March. But again, there's a little bit of time between now and then. But we'll definitely keep you posted on anything, or if you hear anything and have questions, reach out to myself, Brandon, or Brent, and we can help you out with any sort of clarifications that you might have. And again, we'll save some questions for the end here. I'm going to kick it back to Brandon. I know he's got some stuff he wanted to report on as well.
Yeah, thanks, Maria. You know, as part of my grassroots role, you've obviously seen some action there with the request for inviting your legislator in your facility. That's an important effort, especially with our newbies and our leaders, to make sure that they're in tune with the issues that long-term care is facing. And so if you have not been able to do that, I still think it's a worthwhile endeavor to try to, reach out to them. If you can even have a phone conversation with them, if they're not able to make it into your facility, because obviously session is in full swing right now. That's still a worthwhile opportunity to at least provide a message to the sector. And so if you are going to have any of those conversations, you can feel free to reach out to either myself or Maria. We can get you armed with some information to help inform that conversation. Secondly, on the grassroots side, this morning you should have received an email from us about registering for IHCA's Day on the Hill. We're going to do this one a little bit differently, where in the morning we're going to have 2 hours of CEUs available for free to kind of give you a grassroots boot camp, which is going to kind of arm you with the tools to be able to go up to the Capitol successfully and reach out to your legislators, call them out off the floor and have a conversation surrounding the challenges that you all are facing. And so we're really trying to beef up this event this year. We'd love to take 2 buses down there. That's about 100 people. And so if you can at all participate in that event, that is March 8th. We'll start off in the morning. Registration will kick off about 9:30. The event will start at 10. We'll do 2 hours of the grassroots boot camp, have lunch, and then bus everyone down to the Capitol for a couple hours. We'll be down at the Capitol from about 1 to 3 and then come back. And so I know many of you have participated in that event in the past, and so we thank you for doing that. We hope to see you again this year. If you're new and if anyone on your staff would like to come and experience this as well, we welcome you to invite anyone to come down and make this event really, really big. So as always, can't forget to mention the sponsors of the event. So Medline is sponsoring our Day on the Hill, and then Martin Brothers will be the lunch sponsor for that event. So hope to see everyone there. I'll wrap the recording here so we can go into some questions that we may have. So just one moment.